Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada. We're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And all this week, Pastor Brian Parrish will be going verse by verse through Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, in a message he's entitled, The God of the Impossible. So let's turn to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
The second point about faith that I'd want you to see, you know, if you quickly read through the Bible, sometimes you miss things. But in verses 4 through 13, the phrase the Ark or the Ark of the Covenant appears 10 times. Anytime God says something 10 times in a short section of the Bible, he's trying to communicate something to us. And I'll just tell you where they are. In verse 4, it's found once. In verse 6, it's found twice. In verse 7, it's found once. In verse 8, it's found once. In verse 9, it's found once. Verse 11, it's found once. Verse 12, found once. Then verse 13, it's found twice. Now, I'm not a math major, but I think I added those correctly, and that adds up to 10 times. Now, what was the Ark? The Ark was the presence of God among the people. And the Lord is saying to his people, he's right there in the midst. And now, we don't carry an Ark around, do we? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. As a church, we are, but also individually. The Bible says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, God lives and dwells among us, and he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. He's right in your midst, in the midst of the things that you're facing, in the Jerichos that you're facing, the possible situations you're facing, and he wants you to know that. And that's where your confidence needs to be. He wants to lead you, he wants to direct you, and he wants to guide you by that small, still voice of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me quickly to the New Testament, to Romans chapter 8. Just one verse I want to read there. Romans 8 and verse 14. Verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now in the context, what he's talking about being led into holiness, led into using the power of the Holy Spirit to put to death the deeds of the body. That's true of every Christian. If you're a Christian, that's going to happen in your life. It will happen. Those are the ones that are God's children, the ones that the Spirit of God leads into holiness and to greater holiness. But also, in a general sense, God wants to lead you in the midst of your circumstance, and he's the one that led you right to the point that you're at, and he wants to lead you now as well. He wants to direct and guide your life. Now, I bring that up because I want you to be confident that the Lord's among you in the midst of trials and struggles, and he does want to lead you. But unfortunately, I think there is a misunderstanding as to what the will of God is and how we are to, quote-unquote, discover it. If you read through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you're not going to find any exhortation that says discover God's will. And I think that's important to know, because if you're trying to discover God's will, you're going to frustrate yourself as a Christian big time. Here's how a lot of people view finding the will of God out in their life. Here's God in heaven, here's you, and now you're kind of groping around trying to find God's will, and this is it. You start going on a path, and God says, you're getting warmer. And then you make a bad decision. Oh, you're getting colder. Oh, I got to get back in. And it's like this treasure hunt. And it's always a frustration. That's not what the Bible would say. I believe that I've come to realize from the scripture, but also just practically in my walk with the Lord, God has never told me to understand his plan. Actually, he says, you can't understand it. It's past finding out. There are times where God will literally lead me, that God will speak to my heart and say, do this, and I respond to that. But many times, I don't have a clue as to what the Lord is doing. But I know he's doing something, and I'm confident of that. And I know that what he's doing is going to be good, and it's going to work out for his glory. And so what I have focused on more is the way Jesus taught us to pray, is to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, you bring your kingdom, your authority, your power into that situation, and work whatever it is that you want to work, and I'm going to trust you to do that. Rather than me trying to come up exactly with what God wants, trying to pray that, and then to walk in those ways, I want to get my heart submitted to the will of God first. I think that's the greatest battle, where my heart comes to the point that says, Lord, your will be done no matter what it is. Work in the situation anything that you want. I find as my heart's in that environment, that's where the Lord's able to lead me a little easier, and he brings about his purposes and his plans. Not by me discovering the exact plan that he has for my life, but by me submitting to it, whatever he wants. So the children of God are those that are led by the spirits. And don't get too spiritual, because that word led is the same word to lead a donkey. And oftentimes that's the way the Lord leads us, kind of like he's kind of pulling us, go this way. And I'm a little leery. And I know that this point could be misunderstood, because God does speak to me in a small, still voice, and he does lead me specifically sometimes, but generally it's more I'm praying for God to bring his purpose into my life rather than me discovering it. Because there are people that think God speaks to them all the time. And I've noticed people like that. They're all over the map. God's telling them to do this, and then God changes his mind now, and they need to do this over here. Then they're over here, and it's like, God seems to be confused. But it really isn't the Lord, is it? It's that person. They think they're hearing the Lord, and they think they have to have this exact direction to get right into God's will. That's a dangerous way to live your life. God would want you to pray and say, Lord, I submit to your will, whatever it is. I pray for your will to invite it into the situation. I think that's how God works in our life, as our heart submits and surrenders. So he does want to lead us. He's right in the midst of us, just like the ark was there, but now it's the Spirit of God, and we just need to submit to his purpose and his plan. And so often, it's so different than what we thought the way the Lord would work it out, but it's always awesome. It's always for his glory. Let's go back to Joshua 6. We're almost done here. Two more things I want to draw out about faith. From verse 9, I want you to see faith and expectancy. They were expecting the Lord to work as we should when we face difficulties rather than doubts. It says, the armed men went before the priests, who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark, while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. So all the way around the city, they blew the trumpets. Then all the way around seven times, on the seventh day, they blew the trumpets. Now, again, does God need them to do that? There must be some sort of significance here. He told the people to be quiet, and he told the priest to blow the trumpets, and that's all the noise that was being made there. Well, it is interesting that as you read through the law of Moses, that there were trumpets that were blown on certain days in the Jewish holidays. They had these silver trumpets that were reserved for these special days, but the trumpets that they were blowing were those ram's horns that were blown on certain days in the Jewish calendar as well. And particularly, it was blown on two different days, on what was called the sabbatical year and the year of Jubilee. Now, the sabbatical year was, God said, every seventh year, I want the land to rest. Don't plant the crops. You know, I'll provide for you. The Lord's the one that meets the needs. You let it rest, just like every seventh day you're supposed to rest. God rests on the seventh day. On the seventh year, he says, let the land rest. Then, every seven times that a sabbatical year came around, that'd be 49 years, on the 50th year, it was called the year of Jubilee. And that was the point where it says all the debt was canceled. That'd be nice, 50 years and all debt's gone. And then also all the land went back to the original owners of the land. And in the book of Joshua, they divided up the land by tribes, then they divided it up by family. And God wanted no one to be without land. They didn't want them to be homeless. He didn't want slavery to be in that sense, or now this person's indebted for the rest of their life. He wanted it to go back to zero, and you got a fresh start every 50 years. So if because of your poor management you lost the land, it would come back to your family every 50 years. And God was basically saying, I'm the landowner, it's mine, and I'll divvy it as I want to. Just don't get too possessive of the land, it belongs to me. And if I want it to rest on the seventh year, that's why I want it to happen. And if I want to give it back to everybody on the 50th year, I'll do so. And as these sabbatical years in the year of Jubilee came about, they'd blow these trumpets to sound that. These were the trumpets that these priests were blowing. And I think there's a lesson here. I think these trumpets are signifying this land that Jericho is occupying, it belongs to the Lord. And the Lord's going to give it back to the original owners that he promised to, was Abraham and his descendants. And so there were these trumpets going off in expectancy of what the Lord was about to do with the land that he owned, which was give it back to the original owners, the children of Abraham. Now, how much the Jews understood that at this time, I don't know. But I'm saying for us, practically, there's a lesson that we could learn. And what I'd want to draw drive home to your heart tonight is when you find, or this morning, this afternoon, whatever time it is, whatever time of the day it is, after three times, you get a little confused. Whatever set of circumstances you find yourself in, God would want you to have an expectancy that he's going to work. That's maturing. You know, it's okay if you're new in the Lord and you're a year or two old or 3 years old in the Lord and everything's kind of overwhelming, like, oh, this trial, oh, is God going to help? And you're kind of white-knuckling it and, oh, God did it. Oh, praise the Lord. I knew you'd come through, Lord. And that's the way we are. But it comes to a point where we need to mature and grow up and say, I've been to the situation. I've been in circumstances worse than this or similar to this or just like this, and God provided, and I expect him to do so in this case, and I'm going to trust him. God wants our faith to increase and to mature and not be on this emotional roller coaster. You know, time's going good. Oh, we're worshiping, and oh, we're down in the pit again. God's with us in the valley of the shadow of death. He walks us through there. We need to have that sort of expectancy. We need to bring not just faith to the situation, but eventually it comes to the point where we just say, the victory is the Lord's. It doesn't matter how strong this Jericho is, God's going to bring it on my behalf.